And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hey, everybody, this is First Amendment Friday. I want to get as many phone calls in today as I can. And so if you've called and haven't been able to get through, if you've called and I've had to cut you off before the end of the program because we ran out of time, or you've never called because you didn't have the chance to do that, today's your opportunity. And if you're a first-time listener or you're a new listener and you've never called in and you're inclined to do that, this is a great day for you to do it. I'm going to get the phone calls right after this first break, 888-589-8840. Right after this first segment, I should say, 888-589-8840. I want to remind everybody, this is January, and January is Patriot Partners Month for STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And Patriot Partners are those people who partner with us with a monthly recurring donation. You can find out more about that. Go to our website at standamerica.us, standamerica.us. I've talked about the tremendous challenge that we have and the work we're going to do. STAND, remember, is an acronym for Staying True to America's National Destiny. I believe God had a destiny in mind for this great nation, and we're going to fulfill it. That's my attitude. By the grace of God, we're going to fulfill it. And that's what STAND is dedicated to, bringing us together across racial, cultural lines, to work together around the preservation and defense of our Judeo-Christian values and principles to make this one nation under God indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And it is work that is needed now more than ever. So look, folks, and by the way, if you are here in Virginia, and we've got a lot of listeners here in Virginia, I think we've got about three radio stations broadcasting here in Virginia, and you want to see me personally, of course, I will be at church on Sunday, and I hope everybody goes to church this coming Sunday. I hope your church is open. Lord have mercy. I hope your church is open. I hope that your pastor is not buckled to this nonsense of these dictators around the country trying to shut down the church. But if you're in the Virginia area, or even if you're not, you're tired of California, fly on out. Just hop on a plane and fly on out. And we'll be in church on Sunday morning. Service starts at 11 a.m. and I'll be preaching and live streaming the sermon at 11:50 a.m. The Called Church after Romans 8:28. All things work together for good are the called according to his purpose. And that's all of us, isn't it? So love to see you there, and hope, even if you can't come to my church, and I wish you could, because I'd love to see you. But even if you can't, go to church, go to a good Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, and hear the word of God and fellowship with the saints of God. God will bless us. God will keep us. God will protect us. I'm still committed to that idea. I know that the left doesn't understand it, but then, of course, they don't understand faith. They don't understand God, so I'm not surprised they don't understand me. All right. The number, again, is 888-589-8840, and I wanted to get those two things out of the way. And speaking of God, do you all remember yesterday I said what a sacrifice I make for you all? The sacrifice I make for you all is that I have to listen to some of these people engage in their absolute nonsense. And so Cuomo says, after we found out that 50% more people died in the nursing homes where he ordered them to be placed after they tested positive for COVID. He ordered them placed among the most vulnerable people in the population. after he did that, now that's coming out, he got an Emmy for his great leadership and all of that. And he's saying, I don't know why God did this. I'm serious, folks. Yeah, I don't know why God did this. Did you all know that Biden issued an executive order forbidding anybody in his administration to associate COVID with China? And I'm serious, folks. I'm not making that up. He actually took the time to issue an executive order that nobody in the federal government is allowed to associate COVID with China. Well, it came from China. Well, let's not let reality and facts get in the way here. It was started in the Wuhan, in the city of Wuhan. We know that in their laboratories. Look, never let facts and information and truth get in the way. Because political correctness needs to prevail no matter what the truth and facts are. Because to acknowledge that the virus came from China stokes Asian, anti-Asian racism and xenophobia. So let me get this straight. You can't blame the communist Chinese, the Chinese Communist Party and their corrupt, dictatorial, totalitarian government for having spread this thing around the world, even though that is exactly what happened. But you can't do that. But you can blame God. Now, that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Blame God. These people are, well, here again, folks, I hope that you all appreciate the fact that I've got to listen to that drivel. Well, I'm joking, of course. I mean, I'm going to do my duty and listen to it. But I'll tell you what, I'm not joking about this. That stuff can be hard to listen to. Watching this man pass the buck and bob and weave and genuflect and talk about a profile in cowardice. And when all else fails, blame God. Now, look, don't give God credit for anything, right? Don't give God credit for any good thing. Don't ever acknowledge God, praise God, thank God. No, don't do that. But when something bad happens, I don't know why God did this. Yeah, he actually said that on national television. Now that they gave an Emmy and the guy that all these airhead celebrities, oh, thank you so much, Governor Cuomo, for your great leadership. If I weren't in the business of talking, I could easily be left speechless by some of this stuff. I'm serious, because it's just, you just sit back and listen and go, do these people, first of all, do they believe that garbage that they spew? And second, do they have a brain at all? Well, maybe the better question is, do they have a heart at all? By the way, you know, the Biden administration is looking at restrictions on domestic travel. Thank you again for the communism, Chinese communists, for the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. And I'm going to keep calling it that no matter what they say. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, because this is First Amendment Friday, your opportunity to get in on the conversation early. 888-589-8840. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
What is the American creed? That is a question David Glertner asks in his book, America Light. He has been on my radio program to talk about his book and his op-ed that appeared in the Wall Street Journal. He is a fascinating individual. He received 2 degrees in classical Hebrew literature, but then became a professor of computer science at Yale University. Some have called him a rock star in the world of computing. You might remember that he was one of the people who was critically injured when he opened a mail bomb sent by the Unabomber. He believes that we need to return to the principles that made this country great. Unfortunately, he says, many of us don't know what they are or think they can't work. He blames the public schools and the academy for this failure to pass on the basic ideals that have served America so well for centuries. He laments that almost no one believes that our public schools are doing a passable job of teaching American and Western civilization. Textbooks and class lectures in our education system today often start with the assumption that America and Western ideals are bad for civilization. He concludes that many American children have never heard a good word for the United States, the West, Judaism, or Christianity their whole lives. He also laments that our American culture is in the hands of intellectuals, which he says are usually people born with high IQ and low common sense. He gives lots of examples of this. You can probably think of many other examples of people who are very bright but lacking in basic common sense. America's creed is quite simple: freedom, equality, democracy, and America as the promised land. The early founders believed in America as a city on a hill, as did many presidents right up to President Reagan. It is time to use our American creed to evaluate those who are teaching our kids and those who are leading our nation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
At Heartlight, our residential counseling center for troubled teens, one of my jobs is to repair the horse fences. I need to ensure that the boundaries are strong. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. These sensitive and sometimes stubborn creatures need to know where they can go and where they can't. If a horse breaks any part of the fence, I fix it. When they constantly push on the fence, I reinforce it. Personal boundaries are like good fences. They offer protection and help define what's good. Establishing and constantly reinforcing strong boundaries with your teen will ensure that even if they push their limits, they won't get lost or tread into unknown and dangerous territory. Keep building and protecting those fences. Someday, your kids will thank you.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Brian Fisher here. A medical journal finds that hydroxychloroquine is effective against COVID. Dems try to force mandatory mail-in voting on the whole country. Calls increase for an investigation into Governor Cuomo's handling of COVID in nursing homes. Biden stops wearing his mask on federal property. And it's free-for-all Friday on the phones. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, folks, everything is on the table, and everything we've talked about this week, or maybe something we didn't bring up this week, but that you wanted to talk about and think needs to be brought up, feel free, because we want to hear from you. And of course, I won't go through the litany of craziness that we're hearing out of this administration right now. The complete decimation of the energy independence that we have had is now being attempted. They're going to try to stop fracking. He's already stopped the Keystone oil pipeline. He's going to do everything in his power to limit the development of fossil fuels, which gave us the Industrial Revolution and the Technological Revolution, but now we're going to do away with all that. And we don't have any alternative out there, but somehow they're going to magically make them come to pass because they've decided in their moral superiority that oil is bad, coal is bad. They're not even talking about gas, which is clean, affordable energy, but then apparently that's no good either because that comes out of the ground. So, buckle up, folks. Get ready for the ride. Tonight I'll be in preaching at the Real Church for Revival. I'm going to share some of my thoughts about the stuff that's going on. I'm going to be preaching about violent faith, folks. Violent faith. And I'm not talking about violence physical. I'm talking about violence spiritual. It's time for us to get spiritually violent against this stuff because I think the church has really sat back and just been a little bit too nice. It's time to to take that attitude that Jesus had when he went into the temple and started whipping people out of there. I thought to myself, there were enough people in there that they could have physically probably subdued Jesus, but he wasn't doing that in physical power. He was doing that in power. And they didn't know what to do. They just scurried. They just ran. You know, like shooing flies. They went. And you know, it's time for us to shoo some flies here, and exercise the spiritual power and authority that God has given us as the body of Christ to paralyze this mess that's going on in our country. So I'll be talking about that a little bit. I won't preach the sermon now. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. How you doing today? Thank you for doing
what you're blessed. Thank you, sir.
Can't we start a class action suit as people, citizens of the United States, against the Democrats for committing treason, high treason, by stopping our fuel line with shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and trying to take our name off of our money in God We Trust? Can't we do that as citizens of the United States, just like the Democrats tell us all the time and put it out there? The Democrats, the Biden administration, is committing high treason, and they all should be put in jail.
Sure, held accountable. Remember, a class action suit is a civil action, and you can't put people in prison in a civil action. They have to pay damages. That's usually the outcome there. George, thank you so much for the call. It's good to hear from you. I appreciate the compliment. Let me say this. This has been raised before. I think that there is some real substantive potential in a class action lawsuit. Now, here again, you couldn't bring a class action lawsuit for treason because treason is a crime. And class action lawsuits are about damages caused to people. But it does seem to me that there may be some grounds for a class action lawsuit. And you're right. If energy prices begin to go up, which I predict that they will, you could perhaps have a class action lawsuit against. Now, here again, you've got immunity issues as well, but usually those can be gotten around. And public officials have certain immunity protections, but those can be gotten around. But yeah, a class action lawsuit about that, a class action lawsuit about allowing illegal immigrants to come in and take jobs from the American people and spend taxpayer dollars that has been hard earned by the American people. Remember, the government has no money of its own. So there could be a number of ways to go at that. So I think you've got a point about the class action lawsuit. Nobody's taken that up yet, but it's certainly something worth continuing to raise as another way of fighting against these anti-American policies that our politicians seem so perfectly willing to implement to hurt the American people. I mean, imagine what Biden is doing right now. Everything he seems to want to do is calculated to hurt the American people and to help others. It's bizarre. I think it's this weird anti-American self-hatred that the left has indoctrinated people with. America's bad, and we Americans are bad. We're guilty. We owe the world an apology. I mean, you know, it's like the apology tour from Obama. That stuff is deep in them now, and so helping others at our expense is something they consider to be supremely moral. And for the rest of us, oh, well, you know, no big deal. You just have to suck it up because, after all, by being an American, you deserve to be brought down a notch. You deserve to be punished in some way. Taking our taxpayer money and starting to perform abortions again overseas. Thank you very much. That's really great. Yeah, that's what we need. We need to finance abortions overseas. Wow. Okay, let's go to Ron in Florida. Ron, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Good to talk to you again. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ron. Love your voice, Ron. Good to talk to you, too.
Thank you. One thing I wanted to point out, there's that scripture in the Bible, and I know more than your average Joe, but I haven't memorized books, chapters, and verses, but it says, you know, Christians, you know, turn the other cheek. But that doesn't mean Christians should be weak. If you read further down in the scripture, that refers to if someone is holding themselves out as a Bible preacher or teacher, and they get it wrong. They're misguiding God's children, whether on purpose or not. Then if someone strikes their cheek, they offer the other cheek. But Christians aren't supposed to be weak. It's like you're saying. I mean, we've been sitting around, you know, twiddling our thumbs and praying and everything. But like you said, I don't know violent a prayer, but fervent for sure. Mm-hmm. But Christians, mm-hmm. we need to do something. We need to do something because this is serious, you know. But thank
Ron.
You. God bless your ministry and keep up the good work, brother. And God bless you.
Well, God. Violent faith. Because, right, I know that word is striking. But I believe that there does come a time for a violent faith that's not physical violence. But, and it is about, as you suggest, Ron, getting, you know, not twiddling your thumbs, getting up off of derrieres and actually getting engaged and getting involved. But it also involves the way we pray and the way we think about these issues. Because, you know, the Bible calls us at the congregation of the weak. And he's right. You know, I often say, Jesus, I don't really believe when Jesus said, if they strike you on one cheek, turn the other. I don't believe that he meant if somebody punches you on one side of your face, turn the other side of your face for them to punch you again. And I'll tell you why, how I can prove that. When Jesus was slapped during his trial, he did not turn his other cheek and say, slap me again. He said to the man who hit him, he said, if I have done evil, testify of the evil. But if not, why have you hit me? Jesus, he defended himself. I mean, he challenged the right of that man to strike him. So I think this idea of, you know, just sort of being a doormat for people, which some people think Christianity should be interpreted as, I don't think is consistent with the context in the whole of what Scripture teaches about what we're supposed to do. I mean, what about put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? What about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? What about be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? What about endure hardship as a good soldier? Soldiers don't lay down and let the enemy walk over top of them. The hardship is in the fight. What about the Lord is a man of war? The Lord is his name. So, yeah, there's plenty in the scripture to teach us that we're not weak and we don't roll over and lay down for evil. The Bible says we're supposed to overcome evil with good. Good is defined in many ways, but I can tell you what it can be defined as. It can be defined as empowering those who are evil to do more evil. Who was it? Burke, who said all that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. For evil to triumph, I guess it is. It's for good men to do nothing. That's not what the scripture teaches us to do. Let's see. We have time for another call. Terry in Virginia. Okay, Terry, hold on. I'll come back to you after the break. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'll come back to you after the break, Terry. Look, folks. Yeah, Ron had it right. This situation we are in is dangerous. It is dangerous and it is bad. And to hear, in fact, I didn't get to this today because it's First Amendment Friday and I want to hear your calls. But to hear people in the Biden administration, California again. California? California is a one-party totalitarian state. That's why there are people trying to recall Gavin Newsom now, because he's acting like some little petty dictator out there. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The very first book in the Bible has some wonderful words for us. Here's a little short verse from the 28th chapter. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Let me share a story with you. Sam put on his top coat, picked up his briefcase, and walked to the door. Saying goodbye to the rest of the family, he proceeded to his car. He backed out of his driveway and headed down the road to the office. At the intersection, he looked both ways, and then he started across, and that's when it happened. There was a terrible screech, tires grinding on the pavement, coming to a sudden and complete stop. Sam jumped, looked toward his right to see a big tractor trailer bearing down on him. In an instant, his instinct told him to brace himself to prepare for a terrible accident. The truck was about to crash into his small, foreign-made automobile. He braced and waited, but miraculously, the driver of the giant truck managed to get the big rig stopped just prior to the anticipated collision. With a sigh of relief and thankfulness, Sam uttered a quick prayer. Now, it's only fair to say that Sam was not normally a very religious man, living mostly by his own creeds and just not having much time or interest in the kid stuff, you know. But for some reason, he spontaneously let it slip. "Thank you, Lord," he said, suddenly remembering that there was someone beyond himself. Well, Sam and the driver of the truck got out and surveyed the situation. "Man," said the truck driver, "you're a mighty lucky person. Just a split-second difference in timing, and you very probably wouldn't be around this old world right now. You'd better be thankful that I had my brakes reworked just last week. I would hate to think what would have happened if I had not. And I started to put it off, but changed my mind at the last minute and went ahead. Buddy, you better thank goodness that you're still alive." "Mister," said Sam, "I've already thanked goodness." Well, in a few moments, Sam was on his way to the office again. At a service station along the route he took, he saw Bill. Bill was a friend of his who worked in the same office. Bill was also the religious guy in their group, a regular churchgoer. Sam wheeled in to speak to Bill and tell him about the truck. "Hey, Bill," hollered Sam out of his window as he pulled along his religious friend. "The Lord's really taking care of me this morning. I pulled out in front of this big truck and the Lord performed a miracle and stopped it just before it got me. It sure is great how the Lord takes care of us, isn't it?" "It sure is," said Bill. "He performed a miracle for me this morning also." "He did?" said Sam. "What happened? Did you nearly get hit by a big truck like me?" "Well, not quite," said Bill. "He just kept me from pulling out in front of any big trucks." Strange how we can find him in the miracles and not in the everyday events, isn't it?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, folks, you may find this shocking, but you know, Fortune magazine, which is no left-wing rag, now they may lean left or something, but obviously it's just not some sort of leftist blog. Fortune magazine had an article. Let's see if I can figure out how long ago this was. It was in July of this past year. In fact, it was written for July 4th. Had an article in which the writer says that the American Constitution needs to be rewritten, and the people who should be charged with rewriting it are the officials of California, because they know what's best for America, and they would come up with, throw out the present Constitution and come up with a new one that would be written by California, because California is the biggest and most influential state, and they feel like they should be the ones to do it. Actual article in Fortune magazine, and said, and then that they could put that out to the rest of the country, and you know, they get rid of the Electoral College, and they make the Constitution a document of racial and social equity and all of that. But Fortune magazine, remember I told you all a while ago, I think that what they really want to do is just throw out our Constitution. There it is. There it is. In Fortune magazine, an article saying the American Constitution needs to go, and California is the place to lead the way in crafting a new constitution for our country. So that's how crazy the situation has gotten. Let's come back to your calls. And thank you all for your patience. Let's go to Vernon. Oh, you know what, Vernon? Hold on. Wait a minute. Did I lose who? Oh, Tom in Virginia. Hold on, Vernon. Just hold on 1 second. Okay, and let me get to Terry. Back to Terry in Virginia, because Terry, I forgot you. Can't do that to you. Terry, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for your show. It's just we got a continuation. Obama, when he was sworn in for his first term, he said that America was the largest Muslim nation in the world.
And remember that.
Biden went up to what they were doing, and now Biden is in office, and Obama and some of the others are still behind him, pushing him in this left communist agenda, and he's just pushing to, it seems as though, to make America vulnerable to the outside influence of communist nations or Muslim nations, and where our President Donald Trump, he was making us strong, the one before, and now cabinet or this president and that is putting us back in that vulnerable position where, you know, people are not honored and respected, jobs are not kept for America, you know, is make America first. But he said that he wasn't for that. This president, I mean, our last president for sure was, but it's just a whole different agenda.
And it is
evil.
It is, Terry. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, that's pretty much what I was going to say.
All right. Well, Terry, listen, you stimulate a lot of thinking in me, and I appreciate the call. Thank you, Terry, for calling. Thank you for listening. You know, Terry just gave me a couple of other slogans that would fit this administration. I said yesterday, make America mediocre again. But Terry suggested make America vulnerable again or make America weak again. And, you know, that seems to be the direction it's going. So thank you, Terry. I think you've encapsulated that very well. Make America vulnerable again. And, you know, the other thing that Terry stimulated in my thinking is this. You know, the slogan make America great again was really a slogan that meant make the American people first again. Think about that. Make America first again. But it was really about making the American people first again. And you know what? The new mantra can be make the American people last again. That's pretty sad. But Terry, thank you for that stimulating comment. Let's go to Tom in Ohio. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you, Tom?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I keep it in my, I just have this rattling around me, but all these executive orders, which do seem a lot like a dictator would do. But again, and I heard another caller talk about this, but there's got to be legal ramifications to everything that's been, submitted out there. If there's been, 40 of these or 60 of these things, there's all these ramifications that have to be accounted for. Do you have any other thoughts on that? Because I know the attorney general from, I think it was Texas, put out a suit against either the wall thing or the pipeline thing. So anyway, that was just about more of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it was about the deportation order. They sued about the deportation order. No more deportations. But look, Tom, yeah, there are lots of opportunities for lawsuits in all of this. And of course, the issue is you've got to have standing. When you bring a lawsuit, you've got to show how you are personally damaged. Mass action lawsuit has a tremendous amount of appeal because if some of these broad strokes that he's issuing that affect millions of people could produce a class that could say, hey, you, Mr. President, you have damaged us. You have harmed us. I mean, already 11,000 people out of work as a result of his closing the Keystone Pipeline. Does that invite a class action lawsuit? I think it could. Now, I don't know whether it would prevail because it would depend upon whether The courts found the president has lawful authority to just do that at the stroke of a pen. In my view, he shouldn't. But I think it's the kind of lawsuit that would be worth bringing, if for nothing else than to inform the rest of the American people that we need to begin to fight for ourselves, not just wait for the Congress to do something, but fight for ourselves when we think that these things are being done, causing great harm to the American people and to our economy. So yeah, you're right. I mean, this has a lot of legal ramifications. The question of who takes them up and who files the lawsuits. Thanks for the call, Tom. Let's go to Richard. Richard in Oklahoma. I'm right here in your home state right now. Richard, welcome.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, yes, sir.
You don't know Semper Fi, always faithful.
Amen. That's right, Richard. Always faithful.
And certainly we need to be in this country now. Those of us who know the Lord need to be faithful.
Yes, indeed.
I know what it is. Yeah. I know what it is to be in what people might call warfare.
Yeah.
From my time as a Marine.
Did you, Richard? Now, did you serve in? Did you serve in Vietnam?
No, but you know, I look at our country today, and when I left the Marine Corps, became a pastor, and spent 13 years looking at people through the bars and the jails. Mm-hmm. I know what spiritual warfare, I think, what it is. And certainly we have it in this country today. I'm not throwing rocks at our president. I pray for him. I pray that he would be saved. It is my mind to be changed.
Amen. You know,
and I pray for you all the time. I thank God for the voices on the radio. You know, it's, when me and a lot of other men came back from Vietnam, we were greeted with the greeting, "You're one of those baby killers."
Yeah.
And now I live in a country where we're killing babies legally, I guess. It doesn't make sense.
Richard, it really doesn't. Thank you for your service, Richard. Your service to the country as a Marine, your service to the body of Christ and to God as a pastor. Richard, you're right, man. We've got to reclaim that warrior spirit in the church, because we simply can't sit by and let this wonderful constitutional republic God has given us to be stolen from us by a bunch of lying communists, because that's exactly what's going on. Marxism is like a disease. It's worse than COVID. It's like a disease running through the body politic. It's taken over the Democrat Party, and it threatens the freedom of every single American. So, Richard, again, thank you. Double kudos to you, Richard. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer. Happy New Year! With a pandemic, a contentious election, and everything in between, 2020 has been one for the record books. As we enter 2021, we know not what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And none of this has surprised him. No matter what the new year brings, let's press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. A New Year's reminder from American Family Radio.
So there's this guy, and his name is Jose, and he's healthy, he's got a happy family, he's busy running his own payroll company in Texas, goes to the doctor and gets news you never want to hear, cancer. And here's the thing, he had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jose and his wife Estrella was, is this really going to work? Especially after they got hit with an $85,000 bill.
That bill was paid so fast that it was amazing.
We didn't have to worry. They paid right away. All his doctor visits. It was just amazing.
So yes, MediShare works. And a typical family saves $500 a month when they switch to MediShare. But it's not just about the money.
Just to have believers knowing that they're praying for you, you know, it melted your heart.
And I tell you, I have nothing but great things to say about MediShare.
Why wait? You can call now, 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
So we lose the core values as a country in those critical aspects because one family's not passing it on to the next generation.
Senator James Lankford on Focus on the Family Minute.
They're expecting government or expecting somebody else to be able to carry on those values. They don't. We know from a biblical perspective, you pass that on from one generation to the next. And so when we see a failure of that, it gets filled in with the vacuum of the culture. So being salt and light begins at home. Two things I would say on that. One is, make sure our families are actually passing on these values. And the second thing is, make sure our hope is based on something that is eternal. Our hope is found in Christ and what He is doing. If our hope is in a government or in a place or in a person or an elected official or in what my school's going to do, your hope's in the wrong spot. We take care of our first responsibility to our family, to our own personal walk with God, and then engage in our culture in a way that makes the greatest difference.
More from Senator Lankford at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, we're getting plenty of calls in today, and the numbers, we got some lines open. 888-589-8840 is the number. And let's get right back to the calls. You've been very, very patient. Let's go to Sarah in Virginia. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. How are you doing today, sweetie?
I'm doing wonderful, Sarah. How about you?
I'm doing great. I've got two comments to make, and then I would like for you to speak to the last one I'm going to make. The first one is, okay. I'm not sure if anybody remembers, but I do because it took my breath away. I couldn't believe my ears. Last year, the governor of New York said, I guess when they were talking about the ventilators and them bringing them ship and all the help that they were getting, he said God had nothing to do with it. So I don't know if someone had spoken to him and said, you know, thank God, God is providing. He said God had nothing to do with it. And now I didn't see yesterday, but I'm assuming now he's saying God, he's blaming it on God. So,
wow.
Christian, just know that pride goes before a fall, and that will happen. Just rest assured God's word is true no matter what. The other comment I wanted to make, honey, was, Satan cannot sift anyone or do anything to anyone without getting asking God's permission. That's what the Word of God says. So I personally, in my spirit and flesh, believe that this COVID-19 and all the variants of it is God's testing. In my lifetime, I'm 68. I've never known a time where the whole world was affected by the same thing at one time in such a dramatic way. It was our time, the world's time, to come together and seek God out when we couldn't go anywhere else. And it was a beautiful plan, in my opinion. But then all these other things started happening. Satan started having his demons do whatever it is that they're doing, trying to disrupt the world. But our God is sovereign. I want Amen. The people to remain strong, to be bold as you come boldly before that throne. You are a child of God. Fear should never be in a child of God because fear doesn't Amen. Come from God.
So much. Listen, there's a lot to unpack there. Let me just say this. I do remember Cuomo making that comment. And here again, isn't that interesting? So you can't blame the Communist Chinese Party because that's racist, even though they're the ones who gave the world this virus, but you can't blame them. And you're right. Last year, he said, when people were thanking God for the ventilators and thanking God for the support, he said, God had nothing to do with it. I guess he meant I do. I'm the guy. And now you're saying God gave us the virus. So now God had nothing to do with the help, but God had something to do with the curse. These people are just so demonic that it's a shame. I would say one thing too, Sarah. See, I don't believe the scripture teaches that God gives Satan permission. There are two scriptures I can think of that you're probably thinking of. One in which God tells Job, look, he's in your hands. But read that closely. God doesn't say, look, I put him in your hands. God says, look, he is in your hands. And I would argue that Job was walking in the very fear that Sarah has said is Christians should not walk in. People of God should not walk in. He was afraid that his children were going to sin against God. He said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What are you doing walking in fear? Fear, I really believe, gives Satan authority in one's life, just the way faith gives God authority in one's life. And then Jesus, of course, dealing with Peter, told Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. In other words, Satan wants to do this. I don't think he was asking permission. I'm not going to let him do it. I'm going to stop him from doing it. So I just don't think Satan is going around asking God for permission to afflict people, hurt people. I think he is his own master, and that's why he's condemned to eternal hell. But that's just my theological approach to that. And so COVID, part of the sinfulness of human beings and the disorderly nature of a fallen world. And I don't even like the language, well, God allowed it, because, you know, you think about like some terrible accident that kills a child. Well, God allowed that. Well, God's not allowing, as if to say, well, yeah, I'll give permission to that child to die. No, I think it's just that we live in this world and we're free. And as a result of that freedom and a result of the sinfulness of human beings, the whole world is polluted and affected. I will say this, when you are a child of God and you put your trust in him, under his protection. And without that, the only way you're under God's protection is by his sovereign will, because maybe somebody's interceded for you, because he doesn't owe people who don't love him or have faith in him. He doesn't owe them anything. They choose to be separate from him. Let me not preach a sermon here, but you got me started, Sarah. But thank you for the call. Really do appreciate that. Let's see. Let's go to Vernon in Mississippi. Vernon, welcome.
Hey, thank you for the call. It's an honor. My comment's pretty minor, but I used to see at the beginning of games like baseball and football the knee bowing, but it has been bothering me. But I've been seeing them focus on somebody that during the national anthem they want to carry on horseplay and spit. And I have seen several spitting. I don't know why they focus on that person, but it just, I know you love this country, and I just wanted to tell you what has been bothering me. So thank you for answering.
Vernon, thank you so much for calling. Let me tell you something, Vernon. I was just thinking about this the other day. I did not make a decision. I'm just going to boycott sports. They just wrenched out of me my love for organized sports and for professional sports, because I'm so offended by this disrespect of our country and this disrespect of our flag. And it so upsets me that I just say, you know what? I can't watch this stuff, because why do I want to, if I want to be entertained, why do I want to watch something that affects me and makes me angry? So I just give it up on it. I don't pay any attention. People start talking about football games and football. I ignore it. And I was an avid fan. I mean, you know, maybe not as avid as some, but I used to love watching football, love watching basketball games, particularly playoffs. I'm done. I'm just really done. Because you know, the very country that gives you the ability to earn this money and the ability to be a famous, influential person, and you denigrate that country when you couldn't do what you're doing anywhere else in the world, and you don't have the sense enough to be grateful for that and to appreciate that, and to put whatever grievance you have in some perspective, I have no use for it. I have no use for people who do that kind of stuff. I mean, so as far as I'm concerned, Colin Kaepernick is one of the great villains of our nation. And he's in no way any kind of admirer. He's a villain who did nothing but divide and denigrate and really disrespect one of the great symbols of liberty and freedom that the world has ever known, that American flag. So thank you for the call, Vernon. Let's go to Peter in Kansas. Peter, welcome.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. I just want to let you know that when I was growing up, I was in my teens. I'm 80 years old. And so when I was in my teens in the 50s, that I read a book called Masters of Deceit. And Masters of Deceit is doing everything what Biden is doing today. And I call him Biden because he's just like Obama. And the sad thing is that we're in this situation today where it's not good. And we need to get out of this situation. I've always said that once the United States is out of the way, that's when we're going to have the man of perdition coming into the sea, that he's going to be the ruler of the world. And I'm concerned about it, but I'm not fearful because I know Christ, our God, is in control.
Amen. Peter, thank you so much for the call. We're almost out of time, but let's see if we can get a couple more in here. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bishop, for taking my call. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
My comments is about the president now, Biden. You know, he's supposed to be the president for all the American people. And the last time I checked, you know, Republicans and Democrats, we both are taxpayers. And I believe that the partisan divide has got to stop. And I'm going to tell you one more thing, Bishop. You know this scripture very well. It's in 1 Timothy 6, I think, if I'm not mistaken. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And I believe that money has taken a toll of people. Nobody wants to say it. They're scared to say it. But you know in the back of your mind, the only thing that controls man is money. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brother. Thank you.
All right. Todd, thank you for the call. And you're right. Biden is president, legitimately or illegitimately. He's president of the United States now. I don't consider him to be legitimate, but I would respect him if he walked into a room. I'd call him Mr. President and all of that because he has been inaugurated. He's taken the oath of office. You are absolutely right. I think you're right about money, but I think there's something behind money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says money is the root of all kinds of evil. But one of the things that money gets you is power. And frankly, I think drunk on power, and money is one of the tools that they use to get it. Let's see. You know what? It's going to be a quick comment. But Dr. George in Arkansas, my producer's probably pulling his hair out to try to get you on, but I didn't want to leave without you having at least a brief comment. Go right ahead, Dr. George.
Yes, sir. God bless you, my brother. I'm a fellow in Christ. Two things. One,
amen.
Out of the Bible, Jesus said a house divided won't stand. He's not going to heal people and put sickness on somebody at the same time. That's not our Jesus. Second, as an attorney, if a felony's been committed, does it not need to be prosecuted?
I'm sorry, if a what's been committed?
If a felony's been committed,
yes.
Does it not need to be prosecuted?
Yes.
How
yes.
many felonies were committed with these stolen votes?
Okay, Dr. George, there is the pregnant question. So thank you so much for the call. You are absolutely right. Look, I know they're blacklisting people. I would say this, there is enough smoke there that there's got to be some fire, and we need to get to the bottom of it, and I trust one day we will. That's going to do it for this week, folks. God bless you all. Thank you. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.